And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the verse just recited, we hear the words which give this day in the church here both its official names. The purification of St. Mary the Virgin, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, and also the presentation of Christ in the temple. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. If you've been in the traditional Anglican church for long enough, you'll know that if there are three names for a Sunday, why aren't there four? Or maybe five. So there's some more names for this day. One you may have heard before is Candlemas, a date when beeswax candles would be blessed for household use throughout the year, a tradition beginning in the late 7th century when Pope Sergius instituted a procession from St. Adrian's in the Forum in Rome to St. Mary Major's church, and candles were used to light the way. Eventually, the candles were blessed before the procession, and eventually the procession was not so important as the candles, and then people forgot about procession and just wanted blessed candles. Well, that's one reason that this day is called Candlemas. It has another day in the Greek, or another name in the Greek church, Hippopante, a title meaning the meeting, because this is the day in which Jesus meets Simeon and Anna at the temple. Simeon, who declared Jesus to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, perfect for Epiphany. But the purification of St. Mary the Virgin, the question, why were they there at the temple in the first place? Leviticus chapter 12, after 8 days, you bring the child for circumcision, that's January 1st, and after 40 days, you come for the ceremonial cleansing and offering at the temple, that would be February 2nd. Those are fixed feast days, January 1st, after December 25th, and then February 2nd. The firstborn male was presented to the Lord in commemoration of the firstborn of Egypt that were taken at the Exodus as a reaction to the attempt of the Egyptians to kill the Hebrew children by means of the midwives. If you want to read more about that connection, you can turn to Exodus chapter 13. The presentation is a story then, a tradition of letting something go, taking that which is important to you and presenting it to God, proving indeed that your faith is in Him. It's not unlike the same logic behind a tithe. You take the first fruits of the best that you have and give that to the Lord and take your hands off. The law called for a lamb to be sacrificed at the presentation of a firstborn son 40 days after his birth, something valuable. Or if there was poverty in the family, two doves were acceptable. And this is the gift of St. Mary and St. Joseph, proving that they were observant and obedient, but not wealthy. Today, this Feast of the Presentation, we'll focus on three presentations. The first you'd hear in morning prayer, the story of Hannah from 1 Samuel. Hannah, Elkanah's wife. You've never heard of Elkanah, but you may have heard of Hannah. Hannah was preferred over Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, but Hannah could not bear a child. And so she was taunted year in and year out by Peninnah, who no doubt knew that she was not the preferred one, but at least she could tease the favorite wife about not having had a child. And what did Hannah do? There are some in the Bible who would simply go out and kill Peninnah, and then you wouldn't have to listen to her anymore. If you don't believe me, think of this. Abel kills his brother out of jealousy. Jezebel kills Naboth out of boredom and frustration with her husband. Even Elisha sent bears to take care of some kids that made fun of him because he was bald. So watch out. I don't want to hear any teasing. Hannah, instead, ignored her adversary and prayed. prayed so earnestly that a priest thought she was drunk and was ready to come and clear this drunkard out of the church. Eli comes to kick her out of the temple, and instead, hearing her plea, he promises that she will conceive. And she prayed for the child. She received one, and not only one, actually, but that first one she gave right back to God. Placing her faith in God, she is blessed with far more than she asked for. Placing her faith in God, she presented Samuel to the temple once he was weaned, and he was raised there, a true offering, a presentation of the firstborn son. That's the first presentation we consider on this day. But it's no accident, you can probably discern, that we read about Hannah and Samuel as assigned to us in the lectionary for morning prayer on this day. Because centuries later, there is another key presentation. And like the child Samuel, the infant Jesus does not have a choice in the matter. He's only 40 days old. This is at the beginning, indeed, a story then about Saint Joseph and more especially Saint Mary. These are observant and obedient people. Could you expect anything else than an observant presentation from a woman who said yes to God's miraculous work just 10 months earlier, or from a man who risked his reputation by marrying a pregnant girl simply out of obedience to God and faith? They are poor people, but these are faithful people and obedient. The story of this purification and presentation is about Saints Mary and Saint Joseph, how they did what was meet and right so to do, very simply and beautifully, like the grateful Hannah. The story is about these faithful ones, and while they are obeying God at the temple, they meet two people. First of all, Simeon, an older man whose life had become about this moment. Just and devout himself, Simeon was full of the Holy Spirit, and he had been given the message that he would not depart in peace until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And this depart in peace is not the same depart in peace that I respond with you in the liturgy. This is depart in peace. He was ready after this meeting to depart. And then there was Anna. And by the way, we cannot miss that Anna is the same name as Hannah, who had left her son at the temple without family. And like Samuel now, this Anna is left at the temple, devoted to prayer, without family. She recognizes Jesus. Jesus is presented like Samuel at the temple. This child is dedicated to the Lord, and there is a Hannah standing by to witness it. Jesus was offered up to the Lord by St. Mary and St. Joseph, obedient, observant parents, preparing Jesus to participate in yet another presentation. Think, this feast day comes at the approach of the Lenten season, which culminates in the final fulfillment of all offerings and all presentations, where Christ presents himself. Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, who grew in wisdom and stature, just as Samuel did, just as others do, just as all of us do who are graced with health and time to live and grow. He grew from that infant into a man, so that representing infants, children, adults, all at once, he would present not doves, not lambs, not pigeons, not animals, not money, but he would present a full, perfect, sufficient sacrifice once for all. The Son of God presented himself. A presentation of Christ in the temple, indeed. A purification, indeed, a reason to bless candles for the light who had come into the world, a hippopante, a meeting, the meeting of God and man. Indeed, now we may pray along with Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people, Israel. It is not fitting for us to simply observe these acts of our salvation, to know about them, to be informed of them. It's not right for us to sit on our hands and know about the calling to which we are called. The Christian faith is one of personal revolution and reformation. It is another presentation at the temple, a presentation of ourselves. After Christ has presented himself for us, the only adequate response is to trust him as Hannah trusted, as Mary trusted, and present ourselves. May we never tire of saying the words, and here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, so that one day, as our collect for this day pleads, in union with our presentation, we may be presented unto thee with pure and clean hearts by the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Christian life is a life of presentation. St. Mary, St. Joseph arrive at the temple as they were expected to. They made their sacrifice of two turtle doves and presented their son to God. They released him, took their hands off. The presentation of ourselves to God is much the same. When we present ourselves, our souls, and our bodies, we take our hands off. We're no longer our own. And because of the presentation of Christ, it's reasonable to offer yourself each day and perhaps moment by moment, so that we may not only like Christ, but by the name that we've taken, Christians, have Christ dwell in us and we in him, as all Christians have. Hannah took her greatest blessing, her miraculous son, and gave him right back to God. Mary took her miraculous son and brought him right back to the temple to give him right back to God. Christ took his own perfect, miraculous life and presented himself for us to the Father. And now today we are given miraculous and inexplicable life in ourselves, innumerable blessings. Let us with St. Mary receive through Christ our own purification. Let us participate in this great meeting. Let us bring ourselves to this temple and present ourselves, our souls, and our bodies to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.